I'm continuing my sermon series today on Red Sea lessons, learning through hard times, and many of us have been going through very difficult times, and God does not want that to be wasted. He wants us to learn from these hard times, and we have seen four lessons so far. And if you want to review this sermon series, you can go to our church's website, fbcnoonan.org, and there on the home page, at the banner, a blue banner across the top of the home page, the very first button, or maybe a little bit further down, is media. And you can click on media and you can get caught up with the past four lessons, and we're working our way into the fifth lesson today, which is proactive pursuits, a step of faith out of Exodus 14, verses 15 through 18. Now, last Sunday, you might remember that we learned about prescribed patience. That is God's cure for panic. We saw that in verses 13 through 14. He prescribes our waiting upon him. He literally says, be still in verse 13 to overcome worry in our lives. And there's a lot of wisdom there. But today, we look at the other side of the coin. We look at the polar opposite. Because today, God is not saying, be still and wait. But he's saying, be proactive, be aggressive. And that's the way that we can see God's fulfillment of his plan in our lives. Now, I know to a lot of you, and even to me, that seems like a contradiction. Pastor, last week in verses 13 through 14, be still to overcome worry, just wait on God, be patient to overcome worry. And now in the space of two verses, you're telling us that we need to be proactive. We need to be aggressive. That seems like a contradiction to me. It's really not. When you think about the game of football, a successful running back combines both patience and aggressiveness. For instance, when the play is called and the quarterback receives the ball, the ball is snapped to him and he hands it off to the running back, the running back has to exercise some patience. He needs to wait for the blocking to develop in front of him or he will be tackled prematurely. But once there is an opening in the defense by the blockers whom he's been waiting on, he is to aggressively, with all of his speed and with all of his strength, attack that hole. And so we see this in our lives in the world of athletics and especially in our spiritual life. Life is a mixture of waiting, being patient, being still for the right moment, and then when that right moment comes, being aggressive, being proactive, taking a step of faith. And so Exodus chapter 14 is our scripture for today. And I'd like for you to read with me in verses 15 through 18. It says there in Exodus 14, verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Boy, you talk about a proactive command. You talk about an act of aggression. In verse 16, he says, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. Verse 4 uses the word pursue. In other words, they were out to attack them. They wanted to kill them. Middle of verse 17. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 18, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. So what is the first step of faith that I need to take? Well, beginning there in verse 15, it is to S, submit. Looking at verse 15, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" Israel was called to obey God's command to go forward. But to them, it was like stepping out into thin air without a safety net beneath them. In Matthew 14, which I will refer back to over and over again through this message today, we read a familiar story in the New Testament about Peter when he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems that Peter and the disciples were out in a boat in the midst of a storm, and Jesus came walking to them on the water. And Peter wanted to join Jesus in walking on the water. And so Jesus gave Peter a very proactive, progressive command. He said to him, come to me. Peter had a choice. He could obey this command or he could resist it. He could submit to the command or he could deny it. You know, God is speaking to many of us today about his plan for our future. And he is speaking definitely through his word to you, maybe through other Christians who are committed to the Lord and are strong in their faith, trying to give you some signposts. And he is saying through his word today, I've got something for you to do, but you've got a choice. You can either submit to it or you can deny it. You know, we must be sure that God is leading us. And he is, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. But sometimes the very thing that he is asking you to do seems very illogical to you. It seems very unreasonable to you. I want to ask you today, are you willing to submit to God's plan for your future? I pray that you are. Now, what's the next step of faith? All right, I submit to God's command to go forward, and then I trust him. Is it a step to trust God? Now, look at the first part of verse 16. It says there to Moses, God speaking to Moses, "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." Now, if you're weighing verse 15's command with verse 16, if you're like me, you kind of wish that it had been switched, that verse 15 and 16 were switched. Because in verse 15, remember, God said to the children of Israel to go forward, but he had not parted the sea yet. That comes in verse 16. And that's where a lot of you are today. It's like stepping out into thin air for you today. God is saying, okay, I want you to move. I want you to go. And you're saying, into what? You haven't parted the sea yet. You haven't shown me the path yet. Well, God can't steer a parked car. He wants you to get up and be ready to go and to follow his command and take that step of faith into thin air. And as you do that, he's going to open the pathway for you. He's going to divide the sea for you. And that takes trust. That takes faith. And that's where many of us fail. We know what God wants us to do. We're just not willing to take that step of faith. And we need to be able to do that. You know, faith unlocks the supernatural. Israel had not seen the supernatural yet. They had not seen the sea divided yet. But our faith unlocks the supernatural. So if you would just take that step of faith today, you would be surprised at how God provides supernatural miracles in your life. But it won't happen until you trust him in it. You know, a lot of people wonder if when Moses stretched out the rod over the Red Sea, if God divided the sea all at once so they could see their destination straight in front of them, or if he just divided it a little at a time as they took steps of faith in that Red Sea. Well, I don't know. But I do know this. If you have a navigation system in your car, you have a screen there right in your dashboard. And if you enter a destination that you want to go, of course, the GPS works with your navigation system. And you enter this destination in your car's navigation system. And what's the first thing that pops up on that screen? It doesn't show you your destination. No, it just shows you the next little step, the next short distance that you're going to take. And as you take that step, it reveals more and then more as you go further and further and further. That's what God is doing with us as his children. Many times he doesn't show us the end game. He's just waiting for us to take one baby step after one baby step, and then he'll open it up as we need it. That takes trust. That takes childlike faith. And I pray that you will do that today. You know, a lot of people say, well, I have faith, but they don't act on their faith. You know, the Bible says in James 2:19 that the demons and that the devil have faith. Did you know that? The devil and his demons have as much faith as any born-again Christian in this building today. But they don't act on it. That's the difference between Christians and the devil and his demons. Oh, they believe and they tremble, according to James 2:19, but they don't act on their faith. They don't trust God. And there's some of us here today that are having our faith challenged. God has given you his command, and you said, okay, God, you want me to be proactive, go forward. Just show me where, because I don't see the sea opening yet. And it's only as you take that step that the sea opens up and you're putting feet to your faith. Which leads us to the third step of faith, and that is to engage. Looking there at the first or second part of verse 16, it says there, "And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So it was only after they obeyed, it was only after they had trusted God that they now put feet to their faith and were engaged in the mission that God had for them. I looked up this word engage in the dictionary, and it means this. It means to hold the attention of, to give attention to something. It means to focus. Israel had engaged in God's plan. Now, it would have been real easy for them to disengage from that plan, because the scripture says in verse 17 that Pharaoh's army was following them. Pharaoh's army was pursuing them and chasing them. And it would have been normal. It would have been normal to look back over your shoulder at Pharaoh's army and see how close they are to gaining on you. It reminds me of my football days. I played on the offensive line, but I often heard our coaches talk to the running backs and say, man, when you break out into the open and you're heading to the goal line and there's a defensive back chasing you, do not look over your shoulder to see how close he is getting to you, because the simple action of you looking over your shoulder while you are running slows you down a step and gives that defensive back an opportunity to catch up with you and to tackle you. And the same is true with us. Jesus said the man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Whenever you're taking a step of faith, don't be distracted by what's behind you, nor don't be distracted by the things that are to your right and left. Put yourself in the children of Israel's shoes. Okay, God opens the Red Sea. You've got two walls of water on either side of you. Now, don't you imagine logically if you had this wall of water over here to your right and this wall of water to your left that you could see all the sea life in that water, some of it dangerous sea life, some of it beautiful sea life. It'd be like going to the Georgia Aquarium and walking in there and you have these huge walls of water that surround you and you see swimming very close to you. Dangerous, large, dangerous sharks, and you just get mesmerized by them and their grace and their swiftness. And then you see stingrays. And then I'm sure in the Red Sea they had their share of crocodiles. Just imagine, put yourself in the children of Israel's shoes. They had the Egyptian army following them, chasing them, and then to the side, they see these walls of water with all the sea life in it. It would be so easy to disengage from your goal, which is right in front of you, and get tripped up and to not make progress. We must be careful that our eyes are on the prize and that we are not being distracted by things that keep us from going where God wants us to go. Again, I refer back to Peter's story. Peter was in the boat. The storm was raging around him and his fellow disciples. God gives him a command to come. He heard the command, and then he trusts God. He takes a step of faith. He puts his foot over the side of the boat and steps on the water, and lo and behold, it holds him up. His trust and his faith were paid off. And then he takes his next step. He's engaged now in the plan that God has for him. But what happens in Matthew chapter 14? The Bible says that Peter started getting distracted. He saw the boisterous winds that were around him. He saw the waves that were around him. I would imagine, too, that he'd even glanced over his shoulder to look back at the disciples in the boat, say, "Hey, look at me. Boy, look what I'm doing. I'm walking on water. Why aren't you guys doing it?" I could see Peter in his pride doing that. And so he's distracted by all these things that are around him. And what happens to Peter when he's distracted and becomes disengaged from God's plan? The Bible says he starts sinking. And it says that he cried out in a loud voice, "Save me!" You might be here today in the same situation. You've been trying to make sense out of your life. You've been trying to find fulfillment and hope and purpose and meaning in your life. And you with Peter would say, "Boy, in this messed up world, God, I need you. I need you to save me." And Jesus says, just do what Isaiah 45:22 says. God said, "Look to me. Focus on me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth." The problem with us is we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. And we become fearful, and fear will sink you like a rock. So, make sure your eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ. What have we seen so far in these three steps of faith? Well, we've seen how to know God's plan for your future. Some of you are really struggling with God's plan for the future. I met a high school graduate this morning who was with the Jackson family, Lee's and Katie's grandson. Got his whole future out ahead of him. And I'm sure he, like not only him, but those that are facing retirement, or those that are going to the possibility of a new job, are wondering, what's God's plan for my future? Well, we've seen it in that submission step. It is to find God's will. We want to know what God's will is for our life. So find God's will. Israel knew what God's will was. He said, go forward. And so they had a choice to submit. But if you're wanting to get in on God's plan for your life, it's not just submitting and finding God's will, but it is following God's will. That takes faith. That takes trust. And that's what Israel did. She took a step of faith before the waters were even parted. And so if I want to know God's plan for my future, I find God's will, then I'm following God's will. There's a lot of people in this building that are doing those very things right now. But you're not doing the last thing. And that is to finish God's will. There are a lot of people that find His will. They follow His will, but they become disengaged. They don't finish because they took their focus off of Christ and they became distracted. And it's time to get focused again. It's time to give your full attention to what God has called you to do. And then you will not only find God's will, follow God's will, but you will finish God's will. I like the scripture that Sam read a while ago from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that we should run with endurance this race that has been set before us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Where are your eyes today? Has this world and its problems and its worries got your attention? Have the difficulties of life and hard times taken your eyes off of Jesus? Put your eyes back on Jesus. Get engaged again so that you can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what these people that we honor today have done. They are examples. They are our inspiration. So taking a step of faith, you have to S, submit. You have to T, trust. You have to E, engage. You literally have to put your feet in that pathway and start walking. Don't get distracted. And the reason for this in God's plan, His objective for the whole Red Sea experience in the life of Israel, was so that they would praise Him. You can go back to verse 4 at the beginning of this story and see that that was God's purpose. It wasn't to get the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It was for people to worship and praise Him. Look at verse 4 of chapter 14. It says, God speaking, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am God. In other words, that they would praise Him over their false deities and that they would worship Him. And if you didn't get it there, he says it two more times. In our scripture today, verse 17, look at it there. Chapter 14, verse 17, it says, and I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. And if you didn't get it that first time in verse 4 and the second time in verse 17, he uses the word honor again in reference to himself in verse 18. He says there, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Oh, dear friend, you have got a choice today. You can worry or you can worship. You can put your focus on your problems or you can lift your eyes to Jesus and say, truly, you are the Son of God, you will gain the victory for me. Again, I go back to Peter's story in Matthew chapter 14. You remember he got distracted, he got disengaged from his goal, his task, and God saved him, and now Peter is safely back in the boat with his fellow disciples. And it tells us there in Matthew 14, verse 33, that when Peter was there in the boat, after seeing what God had done, they worshiped him and said, truly, this is the Son of God. That's the end game for all of us. It's not so that you will get credit, give yourself on the pack, boy, on the back, I'm glad I was smart enough to get in that school. Or I'm glad I was skilled enough to get that job. Or I'm proud of myself for accomplishing this particular goal. No, it's not about you. It's all about God. It's all about honoring Him, glorifying Him, praising Him, and worshiping Him today. So, you concerned about your next step? I'll tell you what it needs to be. You need to ask yourself today, is God number one in my life? If He is number one in your life, that's a great start. But if you're on the throne of your life and you are number one in your life, or your plan is number one in your life, you're not going to get where God wants you to be. So ask yourself, is God number one in my life? Number two, am I willing to submit to God's plan for my life? Then number three, am I willing to take a step of faith? Am I willing to trust Him even before the waters are opened? And then number three, am I willing to follow Him? Follow Him wherever He leads me, to be engaged and not be distracted in where He wants me to go. What is your next step? I'm talking to you and you and you and you. You in your homes watching live streaming, those of you in the warehouse. What is your next step? Well, it's your move. And I suggest that you submit, you trust, you engage, and you praise.